Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Or if you're listening on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify,
iTunes,
Deezer. We're on Deezer. I don't even know what that is. We're on Radio Public. We're on TuneIn. We're on everything. It's the day after Halloween, the Day of the Dead. But as our guests will tell you, every day is Halloween. That's why I'm pouring absinthe. My birthday's on Sunday, too. So
happy birthday.
That's why we're celebrating. Smell that?
Oh, man. Yeah. I didn't eat for absinthe. That's
yes. Anyway, I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian, in case you didn't figure that out. Right next to me is everybody's favorite heavy metal DJ, Hannah Bach.
Hi. Happy Day of the Dead.
Yes. How was your Halloween?
It was pretty low-key.
Yeah?
Stayed home, ordered
pizza. Did you do something in the weekend?
Oh, I did. I dressed as a vampire Snow White, got drunk, and lost my fangs.
That sounds like a Hannah Halloween.
That's a story.
Well, we've got some great guests tonight.
We do.
You know, I'm a goth. I'm a comedian, so I've got a goth and a comedian. Actually, I have L.A. Weekly Cover Girl. You want to hold that up, Dave? L.A. Weekly Cover Girl.
Oh, God.
The Strange Goth.
Yes.
Is it right?
Yeah.
Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah.
I was going to ask before I actually pronounced it.
My name?
Yes.
Zachary.
I said Zariah. What the hell am I talking about?
I know.
Zachary.
Zachary. Like the boy, only better.
Zachary. Okay. What?
Does it end in I?
Yes. Oh, it's got doubles sense. Of every letter except like the Z. That.
Yes. Yes. I like that. Anyway, the deep voice that you heard there, and he does a lot of voiceover, so it's appropriate. He's an actor, comedian, friend of mine. And it's funny because both these people, I don't know Zachary that well, obviously. we met a few times.
Yes.
Dave, I've known for years, but I don't really know him. We're going to get to know him now. This is Dave Carter.
We're not going to have sex, you and I.
Well.
Wow. And that's before the absinthe.
But that's
we're not going to have sex.
But the statement of, you know, like, how do you really get to know someone? Well, there's a couple of ways.
Well, let's say this. We're not going to have sex by ourselves. Let's put it that way.
I'll protect you. You protect me. We'll tag team. Okay, cool.
Yes, that's just
I'll protect me.
Right, run.
We
got this.
This would be the weirdest.
My wife is a big fan of me. Yeah,
weirdest looking porno movie you've ever seen. Anyway, before we get started, now you are. It's funny because we had you know Brendan Brocato, the comic comedian. Do you know him?
Mm.
He does a show out in Venice.
Oh,
he was on Liam's White Trash Tour.
Yes,
because he was on the show a couple weeks ago, and Hannah. Course was smitten. She posted, he's got a voice like Morgan Freeman. And I like Brandon. I think Brandon's got a great voice. He doesn't have a voice like Morgan Freeman. He has a voice like, I don't know, Captain Caveman. It's like, how are you today? It's a good voice for comedy, but it's not a Morgan Freeman voice. Now,
you know, every man has an idea.
Oh my God.
of what they could or may not sound like. But Morgan Freeman's a special man.
Yes.
With special needs.
Right.
I don't know.
The reason I said that is that your normal voice is a great voice.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Now, have you done any audiobooks?
No, I don't read that well. I read well enough to read 4 to 5 lines at a time. I'm not reading books at a time.
Well, that's too bad because we are sponsored by Audible.
Oh, hey, Audible.
Yeah, so hopefully I can put a good word in for Audible because I think you'd be great reading audiobooks.
If the money's right.
The money's pretty good, actually. You guys see some of these actors that are reading audiobooks. Our producer's shaking his head. He's like, yeah, I wish I could get in some money.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's good. I'm stirring the absinthe. That's why this is a little more. But they have actually, I saw that they have one of Stephen King's new books. Will Patton, the actor, narrates that. Mm-hmm. You don't get Will Patton for cheap. I knew it was going to happen.
Why don't I back Party these foul. Things away from you?
Okay, so that's for you.
Thank
that's
you.
For you.
Thank you.
And that's for you.
Thank you.
Hannah's going to go clean this up, but...
The booth needs a sacrifice of absinthe to get this started.
Yes, nobody saw that, so...
But most of the time, I do trailer and promo, so I do more of the things that are deeper, short, and more intimate than a book.
Right.
At a certain level.
But they do have a lot of great actors that do audiobooks, and you can get any audiobook you want.
I know. Books are good.
If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS... That's DMS for the Dark Mark Show.
Okay.
Not only can you get any book you want, and they've got Edgar Allan Poe. They have Doug Bradley. If you put Doug Bradley, the guy who plays Pinhead, he has a collection of short stories read by him, Robert Englund, all the horror masters.
Okay.
They have a play of Dracula, with Tim Curry, Alan Cumming, and an all-star cast.
You have a play with Dracula with Tim Curry?
Yes. Go to audibletrial.com/DMS. That's yours free. Not only that, not only do you get a book free, you get your choice of any of six Audible originals free.
Okay.
One of them you could get is Hi, Bob. Bob Newhart has a new talk show. Bob Newhart interviews up-and-coming comics like Sarah Silverman, Will Ferrell, John Apatow. Well,
up-and-coming.
Compared to a 94-year-old, yes.
In a certain bracket, they're up-and-coming.
Yes, compared to a 94-year-old, they're up-and-coming. But anyway, it's a good show. I listen to it on the road. It's really good. And also, there's Rolling Stone. I appreciate it, Hannah. You didn't have to really do that, but I appreciate it.
I just had a little romance in the hallway. It's good.
Okay. Hopefully you were subtle about that, because I want to keep doing the show here. They have a Rolling Stone profile of Aretha Franklin is something you can get.
I think I may have seen, I got American Gods, Neil Gaiman's book.
Yeah.
On Audible, with all the actors in it doing different roles. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. So go to audibletrial.com/DMS. You can get something like that. And also, our other sponsor... Yeah, get that away from me. The other sponsor is, and I'm sure you're familiar with this. Are you, Zachary? Doomie's Home Cooking.
No.
Are you vegan?
No.
Per chance? It doesn't matter.
I'm too small to be vegan. I need the protein.
You're too small to be vegan?
I have to, I need red meat.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, trust me, if you went to Doomie's Home Cooking, you would not need to eat red meat. Look at me. I'm a big guy. You ever been to Doomie's Home Cooking?
No, but wasn't today World Vegan Day?
It is.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, vegans. I'm sorry.
No. Well, Hannah's a vegan.
I am.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter if you eat meat or not. If you're vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, whatever you are, 1652 Vine Street, right in the corner of Fountain and Vine. We went there last week with our guests, Amazon Eve and Joy Villa, and everybody had a great time. I had chicken flautas, because they have the Mexican restaurant next door, Doomie's Next Mex. Biggest flautas I've ever had. Delicious. You had the chili relleno?
Twice.
Yeah, you had last time. I'll talk about last time.
And before, yeah.
Speaking of LA Weekly, the nachos were voted one of the 10 best nachos in LA by the LA Weekly.
And they're delicious.
Congratulations, nachos.
So go to Doomie's Home Cooking or Doomie's Next Mex on 1253 Vine Street. I almost messed that up.
And check out their bakery. Get their carrot cake. It's really good.
Well, next week is... my birthday show. Mm-hmm. We got some surprises.
Mm, it is.
I didn't stir that. That's a surprise. Yeah, it's just right.
It smells like Anna's cookies in here.
Yes. I will be getting something from Das Baker next week for everybody to share. So sorry that you're here this week. So
hi. I'm awake. Let's do
so
it.
Zachary.
Yes.
You're the LA Weekly cover girl.
Yeah.
Now. How many times have you been recognized on the street from that?
None. Because it's also Halloween week. So the closer we got to Halloween, the more people who kept asking me, what are you supposed to be? With myself.
There you go. That's it. Go. Okay. So you didn't dress up for Halloween?
I didn't. I normally don't because, I just do the inversion because I dress up every day.
Yeah.
So then, Halloween is just jeans and a t-shirt and just relax.
Yeah, all you guys are dressing like us.
Right. I think you told that joke recently.
I did it on Monday, It's not a joke.
I mean, you were thinking about it. I was seeing it percolate. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, I've actually gone to goth clubs on Halloween dressed in a football jersey and sweatpants. One rolled up, one rolled down, as a douche.
Yeah.
But, and the goths thought it was funny and the non-goths didn't think it was that funny. So you haven't been recognized that many times.
No, but that's okay. I'm happy. I was.
Of all the goths in LA, why were you picked to be among the three?
I think they asked several people, and it just worked out that happened. But it was from a list of people who were recommended, who's the gothiest person you know.
Right.
And so.
Lena Licaro, who wrote the article, posted that on Facebook.
Yeah. I had no idea that's what it was for until, right before it happened. But it was it was really cool. I know a lot of the people. I got to know Queenie and Tara Murphy, who's also on it, a little bit better. And we're all on the same page about how we feel about goth.
So you've been, because they've been the goth scene a little longer than you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're goth elders, I would say.
Well, Tara and I are actually the same age.
Queenie's, she's old school.
Yeah.
So so you've seen them in the clubs, but you never really talked to them? Or?
No, no, I'm actually, like, super shy. I just dress like a loudmouth weirdo.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Now, how did – see, here's how I met the the strange
story.
Guy.
Oh, the strange guy. First.
Do tell.
It may be a year ago, because I was thinking, because it was at Bar Sinister.
No, it might actually be a year ago.
Because it was
the day.
My birthday. I went in. I walked in. I saw you. You were vending out front.
Yes.
And you look beautiful as always. So of course I went up and started flirting with you.
Oh my gosh.
And you're like, I'm the strange goth. I'm like,
yeah.
Now why are you the strange goth when we're all a little strange? You're stranger than most?
Well, I do a lot of pieces about like depression and anxiety and things that are kind of fringe goth things that everybody deals with. So it just gave me more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just like, I pull from everything
right.
to have like create the gothiness.
Mm-hmm.
So it just worked at the time and it just stuck.
Right. Did you come up with it yourself or did somebody else call you
the
strange goth?
In the back of a Lyft. I was texting my friend, and I was like, what am I going to call my business? What am I going to do? And then the business was named first, The Strange and the Savage.
Right.
And I was like, well, now I have to be The Strange Goth because it's the business.
Or you could be The Savage Goth.
Right.
I think people get scared. They're already scared of me. So.
Are they?
I'm a little feisty when I've had absinthe. So.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Well,
yeah.
So you were, and you're a blogger.
Yes.
You're a model. You're an actress. You're in LA. You're doing all those things.
The proper LA.
So, are you from LA?
No, I'm actually from NorCal, San Francisco.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I thought you were from somewhere else, but not like some. I didn't hear an accent, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
And when did you become goth? What brought you to the goth scene?
My parents actually have a joke that I came out of the womb goth. So my family actually, like, my mom did this, like, last year. She sent a group chat to my sisters and me mm-hmm. with a baby picture. And I was like, what the hell? I know this picture. I don't need this. And right. then she's like, look how cute she was. And the follow-up text is, before goth took her soul. And I'm
right.
like, thanks, Mom. Thanks, I guess.
Did goth take your soul?
I suppose.
Yeah.
My mother who birthed me is confirming it. So.
Right.
What, are you just mean mugging every picture or something like when you're a
I
kid?
I think, like, because my eyes are so big, I feel like I look like an alien. But in those, my baby pictures, it's just, like, huge, black, like, depth of the void
right.
eyes. And I'm like, yeah, no, that works. That's the truth.
Because I was listening. I was preparing for the show, and I was listening to Apple Music Goth Essentials.
Okay.
And it was, like, Sisters of Mercy, Bauhaus, Joy Division, Susie and Banshees. Like, all these things that were out before you were born, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So what attracted you to goth? Was it the bands? Was it the men? Was it the fashions?
Books, actually. Like,
yeah?
The first horror novel I ever read was Stephen King's Salem's Lot. And I read that when I was, like, maybe 11, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was like, oh, this is cool. So I, like, looked up where all the references are coming up from and vampires, obviously. And then I would just go to the library and grab, like, whatever dark, spooky CD there was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually... I think one of the first ones was, I think it's Purple Cult? Cult of Purple?
Maybe? The Cult of Purple?
No, I can't. No. Wow, the name escapes me, but I think it's Purple Cult.
Okay. I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Because The Cult of Purple would be a totally different
right, no,
book and movie.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to think of
who becomes a goth.
It's not The Cult, it's Purple Clover? Is it?
No. It's like something really random, and I found a lot of weird music that way, and so I never knew.
In the library? No
yeah.
Less.
So I would just grab everything. I grabbed, like, orchestral chamber music, and it was like, okay, cool.
Dead Can Dance, different things like
that. Oh, yeah.
The Kills I got from the library, so, like, you know, 3 years after the album came out. But it was just, I didn't know there were genres until way later, like when I was in my 20s and I saw the goths fighting online about, like, no, this isn't goth. And I was like, who gives a shit? We all listen to it. Let's just enjoy it, guys. Like, relax.
Well, that's the thing. Now, how would you define goth?
As, like, you just asked me a question that's going to take 6 years to answer.
We've got time. Go ahead.
Like, if you look at the conversations online, like, all of them put together, then we're at that point where we are beginning to define it because it's been so loosely... just like everyone's okay with it being a loose, abstract idea, now that we have more people and more exposure, it's like, okay, now we need some boundaries, or every person with extra eyeliner and a jersey knit maxi dress is going to be a goth now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think
like
that's how it works.
I don't know. I used to listen to all those bands you mentioned. I used to listen to when I first got to California, never thinking that I was gothing. I'm like, I like those bands. Dead Can Dance, the things I would listen to like there.
Could it
like,
be possibly Purple Nail?
No.
Okay. I was looking purple.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, no, but so you appreciate goth music.
Yeah, well, I never thought anything about it. That was part of the scene when I first got to California down in Riverside. You know, I'm like listening to that. I'm listening to the Smiths. I'm going to anything. I'm in my combat boots and shirts, go-going at the old, like,
that was the
Metro
scene,
Club.
Yeah, well, that was the scene. Like, is this the 80s, 90s?
Yeah, this is the late 80s. Yeah. Yeah. Before I went overseas.
Yeah, I mean, that was a thing. I mean, it was that, and then, you know, there's the metal scene. There's the...
You had XX. You had, not XX. You had X. You had everybody.
Yeah, so that was more in the punk thing. Mm-hmm. But there's a good question, and I will ask the expert. Smiths, goth or not?
Ooh. I'm going to
say... And
then
we can spin off on Morrissey, goth or not.
I'm going to say no for my own personal preference.
And why not?
It's just...
They didn't wear
enough
black?
There are certain themes that, like the other like big goth bands carry out, like not just through their music, but like the way that they do interviews, the stories that they tell or mm-hmm. seek to tell in their appearance and the way they interact with their audience.
Right.
And I think the Smiths is close, but it doesn't resonate the same way.
It does with some people. It does with Mexicans here in LA.
It does. But I've never looked at the Smiths as like, this is iconic goth to me. And I don't know really how to explain that, but it's just like...
Well, they've never been considered goth, and it's weird because it is a fine line. Cause
it's so close.
Because the
like,
guitar is very close to a lot of goth bands. The vocals very close to a lot of goth bands. Now, here's another question, and this is more up Hannah's alley. Marilyn Manson, goth or not?
Man.
I've got a distinct opinion on this.
I do too.
Go ahead.
Okay, so when I was talking to my girlfriends, I break it up. There's goth, there's Manson, and there's emo. Like, my one girlfriend, she grew up in the goth era. I went to high school in the Marilyn Manson era. I think he's his own thing.
All right.
I don't think he's goth. I think he's
strange
created
goth?
His own music.
No, and why not?
No. There's actually like a two-hour podcast I did with some friends two Christmases ago where they monopolized the entire conversation and presented an argument for why Marilyn Manson could be goth, and we all shouted them down. I think there's goth elements, sure, mm-hmm. sometimes, yes. but I think overall it's too inconsistent musically, thematically, for it to be considered, like, iconic goth.
Right.
I think it bleeds more into – I think their style is more their own thing mm-hmm. and definitely more pop sometimes, like darker pop.
Mm-hmm.
Not overtly, but just like you can definitely throw it there and that's perfectly fine.
Dave?
I don't have an opinion well enough informed to give other than I always thought that was just hardcore rock and roll.
That's the answer is no. Marilyn Manson is not goth. It's metal.
Yeah.
It's industrial metal, but it's not really...
Not industrial, though, because I used to listen to industrial.
There's industrial...
Industrial metal like, is like Minnesota.
There's industrial influences. Yeah. There's goth influences.
Front 242, I would consider industrial.
Yeah.
Not
yeah, but that kind of
thought about that
into,
in years.
Yeah, so well, we're going to get into industrial, too. So, and then the last question. This is the toughest one of all.
Seriously?
Nobody has an answer for this one.
Okay.
Depeche Mode, goth or not?
I like my friends, and I want to keep them. I don't think so. Just from the experiences I've had, like watching people have that argument, I think
it's a good argument.
It is. It's really interesting, especially when you have people who know music.
Of the three, they're the closest.
Yeah. But with Depeche Mode, I think like you can be a goth and do not goth things, whether that's like the artists themselves or people who listen to it. I think people just like it and they also like goth things. And it's perfectly fine, but I don't think Depeche Mode is actually goth.
Anna?
I don't like them. I consider them
I figured as much.
I think they're whiny. They're too whiny for me.
If it's not,
Wait, hold on. More whiny than the Smiths?
I don't like the Smiths.
Okay. No, if it's not metal, if it's not metal, she's not into it.
I can't do any of that.
Yeah, if it's not metal, it's not into it. But no, if it's not metal, she doesn't listen to it.
I'm ready to throw down.
I listen to rock and roll, so I'm not just metal.
It's pure metal.
And rock and roll.
They sit on the wall with the Smiths for me.
Oh, wait a second. Now, Personal Jesus, not a bad song.
Songs of Faith and Devotion. Like any of the things that happened. Right. I saw them live in Rome.
Right.
And the white sheet dropped and the orchestra's there and the choir's there.
I've never seen them live.
Thing.
I've met Barbara Gore at Bar Sinister.
Oh, really? They do some things that are just so soulful that it kind of it seems to bounce along a line.
Right.
But the train of thought always seems to come from that one kind of dark place, even if it's even if it is bouncy.
Yeah.
Like in the old days of what they would
Because you could say the Cure is goth. There's no question about that. Is the Depeche Mode goth? It's very similar.
I would not say that.
It's similar in the way that they could take a depressing song and make it danceable. Both bands.
That is a fine skill, but I don't think that makes you goth.
Right.
So you say no, but you love Depeche Mode.
I love Depeche Mode and the Smiths.
Yes. Yes,
oh, do
yes.
you?
Yeah,
oh, I'm so sorry.
I grew up.
I don't like the Smiths that much.
I'm an
old
man. I
think they're too whiny for my taste. Yes. Like, ugh.
And the best, and I posted this on Facebook, and I've gotten two different things. And as I said, I met Martin Gore, the writer for Depeche Mode songs, at Bar Sinister. And I felt bad for going up to him and telling him I was a big fan, which I did. And then he got mobbed.
Oh, no.
But every goth I know loves Depeche Mode.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm going to have to say yes. Because they do have, they do have the gothy outfits, they do have the deep voice.
That's why we're having these conversations now within the goth scene about what is goth, because we've let it go for so long.
Right.
So it's like I don't have an answer for you today, but maybe a year from now, after all the conversations are had, I will.
So anyway, that's a good transition. Dave loves the Depeche Mode.
But you got to understand, I grew up at a certain time coming to California and then hearing these things for the first time.
Where did you come from?
I had come from Memphis, Tennessee, and I was stationed out here in Riverside. And you hear these things like, what is that? Who are they? What is this sound?
What branch of military are you in?
I was in the Air Force. I was in
the
Air
Force.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate your appreciation.
Yes.
It was a very long time ago. It was a very different world then.
Mm.
Yeah. But the idea of finding those scenes and those sounds is like, it's never too windy. Like living in a place that's rainy and you're hearing the Smiths just kind of like you're walking through town and every day is like Sunday. It's like it's so apropos for the window of the world that I came through that you got to love these sounds. Me personally, not that everyone has to love them.
Okay, because I respect you loving them.
Yeah, and then you
think
go to
there's
the
more
scene,
music.
And the scene then was everything that was on K-Rock was Depeche. It was Smiths. It was, like I said, X. It was
Cure.
The Cure for sure. Little Dinosaur Jr., and that was the scene.
This was pre-Nirvana. The pre-Nirvana was all death.
Sure.
I think that's actually mentioned in the article.
It is.
Yeah.
What article? On that
the article on Goth
from
music.
LA Weekly, yeah.
Because K-Rock played, that's how they differentiated themselves from all the other rock stations, is that they played the newer music, and the newer music was that. It wasn't
Newer music. That was 30
I'm just saying,
that's how old
your classic rock stations were playing, you know, what, Steve Miller, Van Halen, and they were playing, you know, stuff that was a little coming out a little bit for newer, a little fresher. But so you came here from the Air Force, and
I was out here in 89, 88, 89. I'd moved out here and stationed down here.
Yeah.
And then, just traveled the world after that. But yeah, that scene colored my entire life for a very long time until probably like 15 years ago, maybe.
Like growing up in Memphis, was it a lot of blues and country music?
You had blues, you had country, you had R&B stations, you had gospel, and that was pretty much it.
Right.
And you're growing up in the South, you don't want to hear any gospel. You don't want to hear what your parents are listening to.
Right.
And there was no other sound to be made. You know, like Dead Can Dance came when I moved to Europe. I mean, like you start hearing these sounds, you're like, what is that? That's different than anything else. And that's all I want to hear for a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
The Marshmallows, like all kinds of different bands. You know,
No,
Dutch bands like that and everything.
There's a great scene in the movie, in the Depeche Mode movie, the concert movie, where they go to Memphis.
The 101.
Where they go to Memphis and they're like, they stand out like a sore thumb because they're all wearing their S&M outfits. And then they're like, they're going to the like a record store, and this is when they had tapes, and they're like, hey, it's a Johnny Cash tape. And they were like, you know, and they were buying instruments, and it was I can imagine it was a total culture shock. I didn't know you grew up in Memphis. No wonder you could do a good Morgan Freeman accent.
Where that comes from.
Oh, yeah?
It comes from the soul.
It comes, too much television and everything. Yeah, Southern came in later.
So when did the acting bug and the comedy bug hit you? It seems to me you've lived a life, and then said, "I'm going to do some stuff for me."
I think there was a period that I went through a stage. I think I was like seven, maybe I was like 9 years old, and I remember there was a contest, like a little birthday party, and they had like the talent contest, and I didn't have my my Willie Tyler Lester doll at the house.
Oh, man.
You know, the
look at the blank stares on this face.
And I borrowed my sister.
Willie Tyler and Lester was a big ventriloquism in the
70s. Yeah, ventriloquism act. And I used my sister instead, and I went up on stage.
What?
And
you used your sister?
I used myself. I'm like, look, you're going to move your lips. Don't say a word. She was like maybe two, and I'm like, I had my act worked out, you know, before
I got there.
She was like two, and I'm like, just move your lips when I pull your hair in the back. And then I'm like, this is going to work out great. I'd been working on my act for at least a year in my mind. Got there, and we took third because she kept blabbing. Like, I'd pull her hair. She goes, nah. I'm just doing my little joke and set up. She's like, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the? We're not going to win this way, kid.
How old were you?
I was like maybe nine. Yeah, she's like. I was like 8 or 9.
Yeah, I should try that with Hannah. That would be good.
Yeah, I'll try. I'd smack you for pulling my hair.
Okay.
I wanted to be a stuntman and all those. I always knew I wanted to come out to California. I wanted to be a stuntman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I saw Good Morning Vietnam. I was doing stand-up a little bit at like 17. I had my own room. I couldn't drink in it, but I had my own room, and I did this.
This late 80s?
Pro-Am. Yeah, this is like 87, 86.
Okay.
And I remember doing this Pro-Am. They were taking the winner and the runner-up to go to this big final, and I ended up making it the last week. To the competition, and I took the runner-up spot, which means I should have gone to the final, but they had co-winners that last week.
Oh.
And the guy that ended up being the co-winner was a guy who complained about never winning.
Yeah.
So they pushed him through anyway. He was just doing new material about not winning.
Right.
So they made them co-winners, and then the guy that ran the room took me in the back and told me about this magical wave of comedy that was about to arrive. And every good comedy boy and girl would get their own sitcom when they get off the plane.
Now, wait a second, because this is late 80s, right?
Yeah.
Because that's when that was starting to bust.
No, it wasn't quite bust.
The bubble
but was
starting to burst, right?
But not in the Midwest. You still believed all those pieces of the puzzle. And I'm like, I can't do it. I'm going to the Air Force to do something for my country.
Right.
And then I lost all senses of humor for at least a good 3 years.
Okay.
And then I found improv again in Korea. Started doing improv.
Okay.
Got out and went back to Chicago and just studying. Never look back.
That's right. You are. Yeah, you are from Chicago.
Chicago and Memphis. And I was on Armed Forces and radio and TV in the service.
You were in Second City.
Yeah, I did Second City Improv Olympic in Chicago. Some annoyance.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. I had a lot of friends at work.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like they don't call me often enough, but they call me sometimes.
Really?
So it's always good when you get a call from a friend.
Like who were you in Second City with? Impress us.
Jason Sudeikis and I went through at one point when I was visiting while I was in service. I did the summer program with him.
Mm-hmm. How's it like improv with him? Can you see the difference?
What'd you say?
How is it like improvising with somebody like that?
It was really interesting. I was still in the service at the time improvising with a guy like that. And he was so smooth and sharp, not really realizing who he was as anyone special, just that he understood the gameplay. And it was a different world from a place where there's all these rules to a world where there's no rules. But there are suggestions on how you live in this improv space, you know.
Right.
So it was very interesting.
There is actually a structure how to get ahead, in a way.
Yeah, there are those things, but
I'm just thinking Groundlings here, but Second City is similar.
Well, I remember spending time at Groundlings out here too, and that was one of those crazy things where it's like, wow, this is completely different than Chicago. It's all about the a different type of work in Chicago. You're getting up and doing shows and being fearless and not really knowing where you want to go or be. You just end up in this place as long as you're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
The truth in comedy, where L.A. was different, where the structure was kind of built around the concept of your character and you knowing who you are matters more matters more than the actual scene you were doing.
Right. Okay.
So it's really a different mindset. But they've all morphed together as all the theaters have come and gone.
But you prefer the Chicago style?
It's colored my life. You know, in so many ways that it has outreaching tentacles that reach everything.
Right.
Day-to-day life, communicating, getting along with other people, just getting my wife off of my back. You know, like the simple things like that. I'm like, look, I've seen this scene 1,000 times. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to say this, I'm going to say that. Then you're not going to agree with me. Then I'm going to give you a face. You're going to get pissed off about that. And then, well, let's just do the scene. And then we do the scene. And then it's like, you know,
do you improv scenes with your wife?
I did it. It was not a good thing for a while.
I was going to say.
She was
honey, let's not fight. Let's do freeze tag.
No, I would just like watch the scene and I'd come out like Black Uncle like, how'd that go for you? Oh, it didn't go the way you thought it was going to go? Oh, that's too bad, huh?
Oh,
that's just a shame. Anyway, I'll be back at the bar. I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
I know that you had to get permission to come to this show.
I did. I actually asked because I'm out pretty much every night doing stand-up.
Right.
I thought I had a show last night, but I'm like, it's Halloween. Do we have a show? Do we not have a show?
Right, was that Billy Batson's thing?
Yeah. And, you know, Billy is a big fan of Halloween.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is he going to make me do this show? And then I couldn't reach him.
That's why we didn't do the show last night and we're doing it tonight because, first off, there's no guests that are going to come. Like, what did you do for Halloween?
I ended up taking my daughter. I took my daughter, and I had a cousin who brought their kids to LA. They're from Chicago, and they were coming out to go to San Diego. So we took the girls out to Toluca Lake to go into the craziness of.
Now, did you dress up?
This year, I just wore a bone shirt. But the year before, my daughter wanted to be Ariel, so my wife was Ursula, and I was King Triton.
Oh, so cute!
But this year, she's five. The bitch is five now.
You know? She was cool when she was four. Yeah.
Yeah, when she was four, it was all cuteness. Now it's like, I'm a zombie cheerleader. I'm like, I can't be a zombie coach too. I have a show tonight. I'm like, I'm thinking I had a show the whole time.
Right.
And my cousin's daughter wanted to be Wonder Woman on roller skates. Which was good for about 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, you need to take them skates. Black uncle comes back like, yeah, you need to take them skates off.
Right.
It's going to get crazy out here in these streets. You need to. You can't stop on them skates. You need to take them damn skates off.
Right.
So, yeah. So we did that for a while and then, came back. It was fun. It was crazy out there, though. Toluca Lake is always nuts. Like all the big houses and celebrity houses and everyone's there trying to collect their candy. And parents are getting wine.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, that's great. Well, this is what I was going to ask. Was there
passing out wine or stuff? Right.
We got security guys out there for haunted houses at people's houses. Don't touch anything. Awesome. Keep moving. Stop stopping and looking in rooms.
It was busy this Halloween.
It was crazy. Yeah. Surprisingly, on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like, the kids don't care.
The kids are like, your job right now is to supervise and make sure I get candy. And I'm like, that's great, sweetie. I wanted to figure out how to get through the crowd first. Right. Like, oh, my gosh.
I will say, all the little kids that came to my door because I did pass out candy, they were so polite and so cute. How's your day? Thank you so much. And I was just
Did you dress up?
Yeah, I did.
As what?
Oh, I dressed up as a sexy cat because I had a date coming over. So.
Sexy cat. That's the one thing about last night that I saw. Like, there weren't a lot of sexy put in occupation here, like out on a Wednesday. I'm like, I guess everyone was doing that on Saturday.
Yeah, no, that's
versus, a thing. Like, there were no sexy nurses, no sexy proctologist, no sexy.
Yeah. No, you should have come to my house.
Mountain climbers. But,
oh my God.
I would have been a sexy proctologist for you.
A sexy mountain climber.
I don't know.
I'm
just thinking any occupation, just put sexy on the front. I was like, someone's dressing as that.
No, I read they're trying to change Halloween to the Saturday before, like the last Saturday, which is bullshit. Just let it lay where it lays.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, I went to Cleve Hall's party, Cleve Hall, who. The makeup artist who had a reality show Monster Man, and his parties his parties were just on the weekends, they're just amazing.
But that's just any weekend, huh?
Last night it was on a Wednesday, and Bar Sinister had a thing. Were you there?
Yeah, I was at Bar Sinister for my friends.
And then I had a thing at the Bondage Ball. I almost went to. So it wasn't. It was cool to meet to run into people there, but it was. He had it all laid out. It was great, and it should have been like. It was ready for all sorts of people, and it was kind of not a huge turnout. But once it gets back on the weekend, it'll be back.
The thing is, with I get the most anxiety around Halloween because all my friends do things, and this year, last year was the worst, where everyone picked October 20th, 21st to do stuff, and I'm like, I'm friends with all of you, I can't go to all your things and go to the new things, so I'm not going out because I can't. It's too much
I'll
stress.
I'll do nothing.
Right, because it's like six events that I'm like, you guys are spread out across Los Angeles. Can you guys have a meeting and like divvy this up? Because I swear to God, if they split it up, I would do everything every day of the month of October.
Sure. Or have them get you a helicopter.
There you go. That works.
A helicopter. Party,
every,
party,
every
party,
venue.
Party.
would need like a helicopter
or you go trick-or-treating
to
Toluca Lake. You go trick-or-treating to Toluca Lake. Were there any celebrities that you...
I saw a couple. I won't go into it because I know some of them.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to put them on the spot that they were dressed up.
No.
With one child. It was seven adults and one child going house to house. I'm not going to talk about it.
But they're your neighbors.
I live on the other side of Toluca Lake.
Okay.
Not that side. But, they're...
Because I know it doesn't...
And some are voiceover and TV people.
Denzel Washington lives over there.
I don't know him.
Other people. Yeah.
But I would see Lawrence Fishburne from time to time.
And
he would give me that black eyeball like... You know, you say, you know, they say, you know, let the people be. They're getting a rap or whatever. You like, you see him looking at people, me, and he's like, I know you know who I am. You're like, just look at me with that look like, I know you know me. And he's walking in and out. You just got to go like.
Well, with him, it's weird because, and it's too bad because he's a great actor. But I remember there was an interview where they asked him, you know, how Snakes of a Plane was or something. He's like, I'm not Samuel Jackson. I'm Lawrence Fishburne. They're like, oh, I'm sorry.
I confuse all these talented black actors as one.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's only one they blur together. But yeah, so I, you know, but so it was a fun time.
Oh, you know, it was great. And Bar Sinister.
Yes.
I used to go there when I first moved out here.
Right.
Right next to Bordner's. I met my wife at Bordner's.
Oh,
and I would go
into
Bar Sinister and hang out through the patio and go into Bar Sinister and just kind
of
hang out. And
oh, you're one of
those
guys.
Sure, I never understood what was going on in the scene, but I was just like, this place is awesome. And then you start seeing it in movies. You start seeing it on TV.
Yeah.
You're like,
there's always a film crew or something. And I'm like, guys, I want to get my chicken strips and relax. Like, get out of my way, please. I'm a real goth. Like, move.
They serve food on that side, too?
On the Bordner side, yeah.
Oh, no, the Bordner side. Sinister. I'm like, I can't see Sinister having
I gotta wolf it down before 10 o'clock.
You know?
Now, we were going to have Lena here, and she just, Halloween was such a big thing here. We're going to have her on. Lena wrote the article for LA Weekly.
Very cool.
So we're going to get more in depth on that. But let me ask your opinion, Strange Goth.
Yes.
And you're kind of, how long have you been in L.A.?
2 years? Two, 3 years.
See, that makes sense because I left in 2015.
Okay.
I'm sure you heard all the legends, but I left. And then I was out of L.A. for a couple of years. I came back then right around the time I met you.
Yeah.
So, but
I missed you while you were gone.
I appreciate that.
I knew him then.
Yeah, we really got to know each other right before I left. And then, so that's why I was like, when I saw you, I was like, wait a second.
Because I just appeared. The thing is, I didn't choose to live in L.A. Like, I was on tour with Cirque du Soleil for the year.
Oh, really?
I was like 22, went to work in San Francisco. That's like a 3-hour commute from where I was actually living. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I want to do this.
What did you do with Cirque du Soleil?
I did souvenir photos. And
we all had visions of
I know, but everyone does. And that's how I got into doing makeup. I made my own clothes for this job. And it was like, we had a lot of freedom. Like, my managers were like, hey, you're really cool. You look like a thing from the show. Go for it. And I was like, people do not get these opportunities. I'm going to take it and run. Thank you. So I got tired of living out of a suitcase and packing up every 2 months. And I was like, look, I'll apply for one apartment in LA. And if I get it, I'll stay. If not, I'll keep touring. Mm-hmm. And so by some ridiculous miracle, this company, the landlords were like, oh, yeah, you can come and stay with us. And I'm like, I'm 23. And I work at the circus. Like,
I can't rent a car.
Like, you know? And so it's like, okay, cool. And then I didn't have any friends here or like know anything. And then it was like down the street, there's Ipso Facto.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's sick. And then there was Bar Sinister. I went to some random party. Los Angeles was my first ever event that I went to by myself in LA. And it was like, can my life be like this forever? And then it was like, it's amazing.
And that's when you started vlogging on YouTube?
Yeah, I started to get like more serious about it and care.
I wasn't going to bring it up because you have a YouTube vlog where you're like, I don't want to talk about race ever again.
The legendary video, yes.
Who doesn't want to talk about race?
But since you were talking about it, being an African-American goth.
Caribbean, actually.
Caribbean, excuse me. See?
Yeah.
I fucked
these
up
these little
again.
Nuances get lost. Like, I messed up your name.
I messed up, yes.
I don't think most people know. I think they just assume. But it's like African Americans know that I'm not African American.
Really?
Like, they know I'm mixed.
You know? Okay.
Yeah.
Except for Dave.
I don't fucking know.
But but you're a Caribbean
Yeah,
goth.
My family is from Trinidad.
Okay.
So
as a don't tell a Caribbean.
I mean, if I can split the hairs, I might as well. Like, I'm here.
Okay. Right. So
explains the purple.
As a Caribbean goth.
Yes.
In a sea full of mainly white people, however.
Yes.
Lot of African American people, a lot of people of color is the politically correct thing to say is these days, which is I hate that. I hate that phrase, the people of color.
I like goths of color.
That was my
response to it.
I think people of color is fine because at least it encompasses a lot of things, and at least you're thinking versus.
I get why, versus anything else.
You know, like any other thing you could say, I'm not going to say them, but like it at least encompasses and invites people to be part of the discussion.
Yeah.
So, you said you don't want to talk about it anymore, but
a Caribbean now
it's okay. I like talking to you, so you can bring it up.
Okay, all right. So, what's been your experience? I mean, do other people, goths of color, do they embrace you? Is there jealousy? Is there weirdness?
I don't think there's jealousy. Yeah. Like, my experience, I think, is rare. Like, mm-hmm. my first night going to Bar Sinister, I didn't know anybody.
Right.
And I was getting, like, I was texting some friend, telling them where I was, and, like, five people came up to me, like, a whole, like, not just white goths, but, like, Latinas came mm-hmm. up to me, and they're like, hey, how are you getting home? And I'm like, these people don't know me. They don't have right. to care about anything that happens to me after this.
So you were embraced by the community.
Yeah, and that's mm-hmm. the reason why I stay. Like
an immediacy, it seems like. Yeah, that first
that
night.
Goths
that
look out
like
for each other.
Right.
And it's like, you don't get that with other, like, subcultures, or even like if you go to like a hip hop night or something, mm. it's a very different experience. And I was mm-hmm. like, I love this. I want to stay here no matter like what happens.
Right.
So I don't like now from 2 years ago when I started going to Bar Sinister or mm-hmm. goth clubs in general. And like last night, there's so many different types of people who
right.
come to these events now. And it's like, that's like so heartwarming.
Well, I've seen the evolution.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it where it was, and this is when I got into it, where it was just a sea of white.
Yeah.
Just really white. Pasty white.
I have a question. So
yeah.
When you came into the scene, were you goth to begin with?
Yeah.
Before the scene? So where did that originate in a certain sense before you, or just you were doing it in San Francisco and other places, but then when you moved to L.A., you just found a new community to be a part of? Or were you just out there?
Were you in the goth community in San Francisco?
I was primarily online because I have social anxiety, so I'm terrified to leave the house. So I was 18 years old, and I started this thing called Five Questionable Goths because I was still dealing with racism. Like the first YouTube video I ever made, someone told me, poop colored people can't be goth.
Wow.
I was 15. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck you. If I'm going to get shit just for being a black person, then I'm going to be the best version of me ever. And that's goth. So I called it Five Questionable Goths. We had, two people of color mm-hmm. and we did that for about a year. And so I was like people would message us and like say like, oh, I feel suicidal. I feel like I can't be a part of the goth scene because the color of my skin. And these are kids messaging another idiot kid. And I was like, okay, right. so I have to like care about these things now.
Well, I will say this.
Yeah.
From who I've always been, like the things that I've done in my life have never been stereotypical. And it sounds like you're in the same space. With that being the thing, being you is the best thing you can do. Like I played volleyball for a living.
Did you really? That was so cool.
In the Air Force, that was one of my jobs. I was on a Dutch Air Force base. I played on the Dutch team and the American team. I worked an hour and a half a day, and they gave me the shittiest job to do because of that. But I was an Air Force broadcaster. Not a lot of those that are black doing that. I do voiceover for a living, and there's not a lot of people doing that. And then all the choices, like school and the rest of it, all the choices I made, my family wants to run that way. I would always run that way to do whatever I wanted
yeah.
to do. And that's a very powerful thing. I'm going to go look at your page now. I want to go see what's going on because...
Yeah.
Race is important, even though you don't want to talk about it. Like, that is an important thing to have out there for the kids that don't know who they are and they want to just be themselves. Mm-hmm. Having the accessibility of right. that, regardless of people saying, like, you know, brown people can't do it, it's like it gives you a certain level of empathy because you've chosen to be yourself above anything else.
Yeah.
That is fucking huge.
Oh my God.
I admire you so much.
Cry? Because I think you're the coolest.
Well, I think that's indicative of my experience in the goth community. I'm not your typical goth. I don't look like a typical goth. I was saying I think somebody was telling me that you do the Dora Cloak and Dagger. Is that correct?
No. That's Diana Jackoff.
Which is another
yes. No, she is
another goth,
legend.
Another
okay.
goth.
I bet she is with the name like that.
She's
Jackoff.
Jackoff. She told me the most amazing thing. Defined
did
my
it,
life.
Did it involve
in
jacking off? Or
no.
Is she a woman of goth of color as well?
Yes.
Okay.
So there are drag queens.
So somebody
queen,
was mistaken.
A drag queen primarily. And so we ended up at this little workshop, like this spiritual, ritual, like performative workshop. And we didn't know each other very well. And I was very self-conscious of how to fit in L.A. because I wanted to stay here. And I kept saying, like, sorry, I know I'm a lot. I'm a little extra. And she's like, you're not too much. You're the absolute necessary. And it, like, I was like, after
that's
that, I was
the,
like, this
yes.
cool badass is saying that I'm the
right.
absolute necessary. Fuck everything. I'm
right.
shutting this place down then.
And,
so.
And you've done it.
Yeah.
And you've done it.
That's empowerment.
It's
and
ridiculous.
And having mentors that help you empower that is.
I'm the spoiled, like, baby brat. Bat of L.A. Just, like,
you're
who I
have
get
to
have.
Keep
well,
them
the,
doors,
yeah,
kid.
The Freudian slip, too, but.
Hey.
You did say baby brat.
Yes.
And then bat. No, actually, the person that I recommended Lena have on the cover is the gothiest. I didn't know it was a cover shoot, but
yeah.
that's the gothiest person was my friend Damiano, who is a goth of color. And probably definitely
there's so many here in LA who do big things.
Gothiest like, person I know.
Sav Noir just did a huge fashion show, and like every piece in it is like the most magical thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, I'm trying so hard to control my fangirl. Like, oh my God.
Well, here's the other thing, and this has to do with blackness.
That's all interesting. Right.
You don't wear all black all the time.
I do not. That's why I'm also strange. My first time going to Das Bunker, because I came down from San Francisco to go to the closing night.
Right.
I didn't have like all black clothing. I like a lot of contrast, bright colors on black backgrounds. I wore this blue, black with blue roses all over it, and like this little black Alice dress and like bright purple shoes. And no one gave me shit for it.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I love color.
Now, San Francisco, was it different?
Scene-wise, I guess.
Yeah. Because I know I went to San Francisco once, and yeah, they were a little, it was a little snooty, I got to be honest. I went to the Skinny Puppy concert, and I was.
Skinny Puppy.
You remember Skinny Puppy?
Memories.
Again, all these things, like, why am I not gone? I don't know why I'm not.
We're going to take you to Das Bunker. You'll love it.
But yeah, all this stuff you talk about, cool. I remember that.
Just because you don't wear, I don't think wearing black makes you goth. It's like your lifestyle and your
music. Well, it makes me goth because I'm overweight and I'm colorblind. That's why I wear it. But
okay.
It's true. But that's how I fell into the goth scene. I don't have to match anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I went to the Skinny Puppy concert. I'm going up to all these people saying hi. I was there for the weekend doing comedy, and this fell on a Thursday, and I was doing shows like the weekend, and then I was like, "Is there any other goth clubs going on after this or something?" And they just all like wicked me attitude. And I eventually went to this club on a Monday,
Death
and
Guild.
I was trying,
Death Guild,
yeah,
my very first goth club.
Yeah,
I'm like 1 year older than it, I think.
Possibly,
yeah.
And then I was trying to talk to people, making friends, trying to talk to women, and people were very snooty. I ended up like dancing with some lesbian drag queens. That's basically what we were doing all night. So it was fun.
Yeah. So the difference I've noticed between like NorCal goth scene and SoCal is that SoCal, there's a lot more people who grew up for like 20, 30 years where it's like,
it's truly a scene.
Yeah, and they understand
Elder
that like
goths.
We can't piss off everybody because we feel a certain way. It's like, you know what? You do your thing. I'll do my thing. If we meet in the middle, boss. And that's built into the scene here.
Right.
In NorCal, it tends to be a little more cliquish. There are people who want that kind of scene up there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so hard to convince everyone else that you don't need to be this hyper defensive, like, oh, this is the real kind of goth thing. It's like, especially when you only have a few. Like, they have maybe, there's definitely Death Guild. I think a few goth nights closed down up there. And it's just a weird time for them.
Right.
But it's like, everyone needs to band together if you want that community. And you're going to have to put some of your, like, petty shit aside if you want a scene.
Well, there's been people that have been, I mean, just, they never outgrew it.
Yeah.
They were goths when they were teenagers. And, you know, they're now they're 50, 60 years old.
Yeah.
How do you outgrow yourself? I mean, you might change.
Some people do outgrow it. I mean, my niece had a goth phase and grew out of it. I don't know if you say grew out of it, but it was a phase. I mean, a lot of people think it's a phase. A lot of people, it's a lifestyle.
That's what
it's
I was
an identity.
Getting to, I think.
And that's what it is for me.
I think lifestyle is everything, but like, I guess that can change. Your life changes with the people that you are with. And
right.
Or the things you need to do to survive.
Right. But when you look back, like I've had moments lately, don't judge me on this.
Uh-oh.
I've been listening to music that I haven't listened to in a long time that just makes me smile. It makes me remember how I decided to be who I was.
Well, do tell.
Oh, I'm excited.
Can't wait.
The soundtrack to Xanadu has been playing in my house.
Yes. Oh my God.
In my office, in my headphones, so neither the ladies in my house can hear it.
Right.
I'm singing Magic.
Have to believe we are.
Don't
magic.
Mock me.
I'm not. I know.
That's
I'm
listening to that quite beautiful.
Because the idea of what the words were and the meaning of that allowed me to push through the fact that it doesn't matter what anyone says, I have to believe I'm magic.
Yeah.
I gotta watch
that. You should not be ashamed
way.
Of that, because when you go
I'm
out
about
and
to get like, all
oh,
like, oh my God, like,
but
these
wait
are the
a second.
That,
you're
these
the...
are the reasons I made the choices I made that allowed the universe. You know the joke I tell about the universe?
Yeah, yeah.
I tell a joke about my main chick and my side chick.
Yeah.
My main chick's got me sleeping on my couch, you know, and my side chick's all in my ear asking for stuff. I'd cut my side chick loose if I wasn't married to her and had a kid.
Oh.
And then everyone goes, They start laughing. I'm like, what, you thought my wife was my main chick? No, my wife is my side chick. The main chick is the universe, and she and I are not getting along right now. Ooh. You know, you start chasing through the stuff.
Yeah.
And those ideas are the ones that make you, you know what, whatever anyone says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go this way and do these things.
Like, you feel, like, because you talk about the universe.
I feel empowered by it, yeah.
I feel it, too. Like, sometimes I make these weird decisions, and I'm like, okay, let the strange goth strange, because I know it's crazy, but I can do it.
If I do what I'm supposed to do in this moment, everything I want comes to me.
Yeah. And it's like the way you survive here. You just got to find that vibration and just fucking go for it.
Yeah.
And it's not even like a spiritual thing. It's just like LA's trying not to fuck with you right now. Fucking listen.
I like that it's LA for you, where for me, it's my wife. Ruining my vibe.
Now,
she
wait
would get
a second.
So mad.
You're into Xanadu.
Yeah.
But you told that little girl to take off her roller skates?
Yeah. Because I want her to live.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of cars on the road, and she cannot stop.
That's smart. That's dad kicking in.
That's like I said, black uncles. Like, you need to take them skates off.
You could have just put the headphones on, and you know, she could have skated to some ELO or something.
Oh, yeah, or even Dire Straits, for that matter.
But
the whole idea is that she can't stop. She can't be out in the streets.
Yeah.
Now,
L.A. drivers are dangerous.
Now, speaking of race.
Don't drive and hit kids, folks.
Now, speaking of race.
Are we back on race already?
It's okay. I mean, it's my whole life, so let's do this dance.
No. Dave's in an interracial relationship.
True.
Which I would imagine you've had some experience with, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, the thing for me now at this point in my life, it's less about race and more about, like, why aren't you dating a proper goth like the rest of your family and my goth family? And I'm like, listen, like, it doesn't have to be. My partner does not need to be a goth.
Oh, really?
So it's like.
So you date outside the scene?
I date outside the scene. You have to, okay? Because here's the thing. If you break up, then it's like 90% bullshit for the next 3 years of your life. And you're like, please, God, let me die.
I have to because no goth girl will happen. But you don't have to.
No, but if you're dating in family, I mean, it's like shit. You don't shit where you eat.
Sometimes I look at people like they flirt with me.
I don't date comedians.
We're in the same scene, and it's like, oh no, we can't date because we're not gonna like make it to marriage, you know. So it's like you'd be cute to like be friends with and sleep with, but if the scene caught wind of that, it'd be like we're like the goth couple, and I'm not.
But just keep
I'm
it
not
simple.
Here for it though.
I gotta
just
be honest.
The scene
don't
really get
could,
married.
Yeah.
Just don't do it to yourself unless you hate hopes and dreams.
No, here's the thing. I swear to God, right? I've already planned my wedding. I just need my wedding will shut this like city down. Here's the thing. I've already figured out.
Let's hear it.
Carried out in a coffin. This is just the opening. Carried out in a coffin. I figured out how to make a dress, like a white dress that I can put on top and set myself on fire before I walk down the aisle. I am that extra.
That's what you
got the gel, like the fire gel.
I'd have to be covered in it or like do something, but it's like it's so worth it.
Very Rammstein.
When they lift the veil, they just rub everything off your face
and just have it blurred and streak. Like, oh my God!
Mm-hmm. After they hose you down with the fire extinguishers,
I'm gonna need you as a wedding
advisor.
That's
hilarious. That's
why
awesome.
Won't you date a comedian?
No, wait a second.
Yes.
And you were asking me if I set the absinthe on fire.
Yeah.
Are you a pyromaniac?
No. Okay. It's
no, but
that's
don't you do that? Don't
be.
You do the
you do.
The sugar and the
normally we do it until we were in a rush
do
today
it to help burn off the alcohol a little bit.
It burns
it's
so the sugar,
strong,
yeah.
But
yeah.
That's when you drink it straight, like
and not
and
out of a plastic
it.
Cup.
Yeah, that would be bad. It's
not
burn
proper.
Plastic, I don't think
it's good though. It's not proper. I mean, it's not proper. Yeah.
I thought I saw a
dark Mark Show way.
It's very good absinthe.
Yeah, dark show.
Why don't I date comedians? I have, and it just it's the same. It's even worse than like in the goth scene. Because in the goth scene, you can not go to goth clubs. But if you're a comedian.
I think you can. I think you can participate in other
ways. Yeah, I mean, or you could go to different clubs. And I've seen people do that.
Yeah.
And I've seen people that are couples in the goth scene. But if you're a comedian, you're going to see them. There's going to be jealousy. They're going to want to write jokes for you. You're going to want to write jokes for them. Mm-hmm. And if you break up, you're going to talk shit about each other on stage. I've heard.
But that's the same thing she was just saying. Like, you're going to want to fix their makeup. You're going to want to help with their look.
No, that's what's good about it. The one goth girl.
But then when you break up with them, they're going to talk shit about you.
I had one ex who was like, the only reason he knows about a lot of goth clubs is because I took him there. And then, like, people kind of started to pick me in the breakup and kind of, like, little movement out of him. And I was just like, first of all, it's unnecessary. I fight my own battles. Second, it's like, I think it brings more people in. Because if that person goes and like brings their new girlfriend, I'm not really the type of person to be like, oh, you have a new girl, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't give a shit.
Is that even part of the mentality of the
It gets
culture?
Really petty sometimes. I don't know if that's the culture or just people being bad with relationships. But we have it in the goth scene where it gets weird. Oh, yeah.
Just don't get married. I'm serious.
No. But it was a girlfriend that put makeup on me for the first time.
Mm.
And I like when your head was shaved. I did like that on you. That looked
really, that's quite a look.
Yeah, everybody seemed to like it, and except for me.
So you decided, against it because we all liked it.
I like this look too.
Yeah, it'll grow out. It'll be good.
Hair grows fast. I was gonna say that when I saw you today. It's like some like what 2 weeks ago.
No, it was because I dyed it. That's why it looks. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because I had hair last week. It was a combination of like blonde and gray. And you didn't see it.
Yeah.
So. And the thing is, when I break up with a woman, normally I'm still friends with them.
Same.
So there's no like bitter breakups. But so you talk a lot of shit about marriage.
I do, because I believe most of it.
Right. Well, but do you really?
I love my wife. I just hate being married.
Why did you do it then?
Because I thought I was going to die at one point. That was one thought. And I wanted to have someone to procreate with that I trusted to raise my progeny. Like I'm a, I was a salmon swimming upstream, you know?
I totally understand this.
This is the best case scenario to have a child and be in a situation. And then she has kept me alive. It'll be 10 years next month.
Congratulations.
Wow. Yeah, she's kept me alive for 10 years so she can slowly kill me herself. How goth is that?
Okay,
is that
goth? That's pretty goth. I cannot share the secrets of the wifeness. I can't.
But, you know, it's like...
What does she think about your jokes about her? I know she's heard them.
Well, of course she's heard them. Like, at first she was not a fan of it, but the real truth is she had to stop and go, I'm like, over 80%, 90% of what I say is true. Her friends will be at the show and they're like, that's not true. What he said is like, it's pretty much all true. Yeah. So she has to live to that part.
And there's comedic exaggeration, but yes.
There's some, but the whole idea to me is I have to get off my chest somewhere or I could not continue to be married to her if I did not have that outlet.
Mm. Yeah.
And she would say, why do you make me a bad guy? I'm like, everybody needs a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, like every relationship needs
foil.
A bad guy. Like everyone needs
foil.
A bad guy. Not the foil, but the bad guy. Like when your friends are like, hey, we should totally go to this goth club tonight. Oh, I can't, you know, the wife's not going to let me go. I can't go. Not that you actually want to go sometimes. You're like, you're just trying to get out of it. Like, yeah,
you
my
need
wife.
Your break.
But sometimes
you need your bad guy to say you can't do it versus.
Okay, okay.
But sometimes your beautiful 5-year-old daughter is your bad guy.
She, that bitch. Okay, never call a small child a bitch, but.
You've done about 3 times on the show.
But this motherfucker, though. She, She just got an agent and a manager. And
are you serious?
Yeah, she's 5. And she's got an agent and a manager.
Now, if she goes farther than you do.
You know, that's actually the powerful thing. If she goes further, that's supposed to happen, as your child should always outdo the parent at a certain level.
Right.
You know, I'm still trying to make my way. But I was at her agency, and her agent had been pursuing me for voiceover. And I'm meeting with them. She goes in the audition, and they're showing me around, introducing me to the team. She comes out of the audition, and she's like, all right, I'm all done. Let's go. And I'm like, Daddy's having an impromptu meeting right now with, you know, the agents over there. She goes, don't you have things on your desk you have to get done? You said we're in a hurry. Let's go. I'm like, you are cock-blocking my meeting, child.
Yes. 5-year-old cock-blocker.
Total cock-block.
Little devil. I like it.
She actually gave me the Hollywood talk not too long ago, too.
What's the Hollywood talk?
I do voiceover, but it's been slow at a certain time. I also do promo. I cut promos for TV and everything like that.
So she goes, Daddy, tell us what's something that we would have heard you do.
I used to be the voice of Freeform, so I used to do Pretty Little Liars, 8/7 Central on Freeform.
I was
new
on
name
Freeform.
For ABC
you probably
Family.
Introduced me.
Oh my
what
God.
Show?
Twins Happily Ever After.
That Twins Happily Ever After? What was it? Freeform or was it ABC Family at the time?
It was Freeform.
Because I was at the beginning of Freeform when all my shows ended. I was doing the dramas.
Okay.
And then
I was on it for
that.
I'm goofing around. I was on it for 30 seconds. You probably didn't even. Yeah. But Twins Happily Ever After. So
I wouldn't do that. That'd be like one of the. That would be Nikki or Vanessa. I was only doing the dramas. So it was like Stitchers, like stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool.
I do more. Yeah, but all those shows dried up. So now I do more of what I call old white guy copy. I do more of a. We're the climbers of mountains, risk takers, and thrill seekers. They're all driving Chevy trucks. I would do stuff like that.
Wow. It's like meeting
you
a,
got a
superhero.
Great voice for that.
His voice is just magic.
Now, you've always had this voice, or did you train it? Or
It's evolved over time like anyone's, I guess. You know, like when I was doing radio and TV in the military, it was a lot higher pitched than it is now.
Yeah.
A lot of smoking and drinking has inspired this sound.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's changed, and I've grown. I've learned what I was doing. My first campaign, I think, of anything was Malibu's Most Wanted. Those trailers, I was the voice of those trailers. But no, my daughter is like, she says, now that you don't do voiceover anymore, what do you do? I'm like, bitch, I audition every day. I'm looking at her, she goes, well, just, you know, she put her hands on her shoulder. She goes, just, you know, it's really tough out here right now for us actors.
Aww.
I'm like, is she giving me the Hollywood talk?
How cute.
Just hang in there, Daddy. It's tough out here. I'm like,
wow. She's like your little cheerleader.
No, she wasn't.
She was
being like a little shady. I think it's going to be okay.
No, here's the thing.
She's
being patronizing.
Yeah, she's totally being patronizing.
This is what she really said. It's like, listen, it's I know tough. I'm going to find work. Good luck for you, man. Good luck.
God, it's like, you know, it's tough. Yeah. This goes, because, before I got my agent and my manager, I wasn't doing anything. Now look at me.
And you're like, motherfucker, who got to the agent and the manager?
I'm looking at her like, we had an audition together as a daddy-daughter audition for a Pizza Hut commercial I will not mention with a little girl watching football, going crazy, and we're in the callbacks, and before we go in the room, she goes, she puts her hand up on my chest, she goes, just be cool when we go in the room. Like, bitch, I've done this before, Like, we walk in the room, I start cracking jokes with the casting people. Yeah, yeah. She's looking at me, looking at them, looking at me, looking at them, and then she gets excited, like, oh, daddy knows what he's doing. Like, all of a sudden, then she realized, oh, daddy's done this before. I'm like, I did not get here, Coco, when you got here.
Right.
I've been here for a minute.
Oh, my God.
You've been doing it for 10, 15 years before she got in there.
I've been out here 18 now.
Yeah, okay.
So I've been ups and downs, goods and bads, and left the industry. And next thing you know, old Jed's a dad, married, right, and trying to figure out how to make a living.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's a lot different when you're doing it just for yourself, which
right,
I am.
And that's when the universe works for you. Then when you get married, you get someone else in your ear changing that vibration.
Unless you vibe
that's
with
them. That's when you
them.
Start.
Unless they vibe with you.
That's why I'm like, if I get married, I'm only getting married once. They got to go through every single person that's to get vetted. Says. Like,
that's why you don't get married. Just be with them and be happy. You don't
be in love.
Because I want the inheritance.
Palimony is still a thing. You get the money at a certain point.
Yeah, it's a 50-50
common
thing.
Law is a common law is a real thing.
You think I just accidentally strategize a marriage? No, bitch. I'm ready to go.
But what are you, like, 24?
Yes, and I date people, like, twice my age.
Oh, okay. I'll get that money early.
Nice. Because I don't want to babysit. I don't want to date somebody who's 24, just moved to L.A. It's like, I'm going to be an actor.
Strange
You're
going
to have to do, like, 9 different things to survive in this place, like, before you even get to adulthood. Mm-hmm. Chill. So I don't want to babysit. I tried dating in my age group. They suck.
But also, you got to think about this. I used to date older men, and I just recently quit because you're going to have to babysit anyway and change their diapers because they're going to be old.
I rip that guy apart.
Erectile dysfunction and hating life.
See, I'll do that. If they can, like, actually love me, like, then I'm in it to win it, you know?
Listen, I don't shit my pants, okay? We all don't.
I ship my pants.
You don't need to change diapers.
I don't, like, for
you say
me,
shit?
It's like something could happen to me, and they'd have to take care of me.
Yes, I don't ship them.
That's the one thing you got to ask yourself. If I was to get into a car accident and something was to happen to me, would this man stick with me? That's the question you ask when you date somebody, man or woman.
My thing is, don't lower your standards. Don't ever be like, oh, but he's really cute, or he's really rich, or he treats me good. No, if he don't hit all your boxes,
why are you here? Or he's got beautiful blue eyes and a sweet jacket. And,
Who would that be?
I don't know.
No, but here's the thing. But people think they know what marriage is. The big test is really the middle ground.
The ugly parts of it.
Well, the middle ground is where you learn to make the compromises.
Yeah.
Because when you first get married, like, the first 3 years of being married, sometimes it's the idea of figuring out what that means.
Yeah.
My wife never said anything about us going to, like, we used to go to the clown room. Like, Jumbo's Clown Room was my daily local. I'd go write jokes in there and hang out.
Yeah.
Would take her as my roommate. We'd come to Bordner's. We'd go to all these places. All of a sudden, the moment we got married, we got married in Vegas first.
Well, I thought I got married to Jumbo's Clown Room.
No.
That would be cool.
We weren't dating.
Here's the thing.
We weren't dating when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
We had been broken up for 2 years. She would come visit me, and not knowing that she was coming to break up with me that weekend, we were getting along. And I'm like, we were getting along. We should go to Vegas right now and get married. She goes, I can't. I have to go to a party tomorrow.
Mm.
And I'm like, what do you mean you had a party? Oh, I forgot I'd help my roommates move. So we helped my roommates move. We went to the party. Then we played chicken all the way to Vegas to get married. I'm so going to marry you so hard. And then we come
That's how it happened?
Yeah. And then we come back. And I'm like, hey, she's like, hey, where are you going? The moment I get back, I'm like, I'm going to Jumbo's. Tell everybody we got married. She goes, why are you going there? I hate that place. I'm like, you have never said you hated that place. It's the idea of pretend. Like, she pretended for a long time that it was okay the moment we got married. What she thought marriage should be was something different.
Yeah.
Because of how her upbringing
It changes
works.
Once the idea was set.
That's what I'm saying.
So the idea of making those choices.
I know you're right. You got the whole flaming veil and the whole thing. I know you're ready.
Well, that's because I want to be extra for my art friends.
So why not just have the ceremony, but don't get married and just be together? That way, there's no change. The moment that you say I do and it becomes paperwork, shit gets a little bit testy.
I like the security of paperwork. Thank you.
Yeah.
Then they can't just go. So. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I really, even though I know there are ugly parts, even though it's like those things change. It's great to say out loud now when I'm 26 and like still figuring out my life, like, right. Yeah, marriage. But at the same time, it's like I know that if I do marry somebody older, probably someone who's been married before, it's like it really is a partnership.
Yeah.
And if you're
you'd be the perfect
your,
second wife.
Yeah. You're caught up in your fantasies. I'm like, cute. But if you're caught up in your fantasy, you're not going to be able to bring the real best version of yourself to that relationship. And that's whether you get married or not. So I've True. Learned that from my friends who are all divorced.
I'm sure you
I take notes. Nothing right, right, gets right. wasted around here.
I would never. I would
well,
never.
Well, where does the time wife. Go? We were talking way too much about marriage. So the strange goth.
Yeah.
How do people get a hold of you? What have you got going on besides being the LA Weekly cover girl? Today's the end.
Yes, it's someone else's turn in the spotlight. Yes. And congrats to them.
Yes, because it was. I've had my picture in the LA Weekly, but not on the cover.
Oh no, I know my fans are going to get shook about it. I was like, oh, by the way,
how was it when you saw it?
When I saw it, it was really cool to like actually hold it in my hands. Mm-hmm. We went to 7 places to find this. My friend drove me around, and we're up in like Northridge, North Hollywood, and we found it like at this random like Jewish Italian restaurant, because right. everything's in like Hebrew. And I was mm-hmm. like, I have a feeling it's here. Right. And there was a little stack tucked behind the wall, and I was like, oh my God!
I saw this Monday at Petey's.
Yeah,
yeah. And I didn't. I just kind of looked. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I kind of kept moving because.
And little did you know you'll be here. So
yeah.
You're the strange goth on Instagram.
On Instagram. That's the best way to like see everything.
Yeah.
And then I like you said.
But you have the vampire page too.
Yes. Ladina Casket.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you. A drag queen gave that to me.
Ladina Casket.
Ladina Casket.
I love it.
That's the best present I've ever received. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have.
So you got fangs from our former guest, Father Sebastian.
Yes, I did.
So is that your vampire alter ego?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes, like when I need to be brooding and emo, I like to write little stories for like the lost love I came to LA to find. It's like really sporadic and random because I've been so busy. But
I hate to do this because we're running a little bit over. But the difference between emo and goth, real quick.
Goth is better.
Well, I got that, but.
Emo focuses more on feeling sad and kind of staying sad because it becomes a self-perpetuating cycle. Goth focuses on more accepting these parts of yourself and growing with that feeling right. and, like, you know, expressing it.
So I got to be honest. The least emotional people in the world I've ever met are emo people.
And they have really shitty music.
Well, whatever. But the thing, if it's not metal, you don't like it. But the thing is, emo are, to me are people that want to be goth. But they just can't commit.
It's like a little sibling who borrows all your shit but doesn't understand where that shit came from.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No context.
Yeah, they're just like, this looks cool. It's like stitches and razor blades, but right. it's also like, okay, that came from like a really cool, like,
right.
you know, goth band, and that's mine. Like, don't right. fuck with it. Right. And it was more right. for something else than it was for being edgy.
Yeah.
I made an
I'm so emotional.
Character.
I'm more emotional than you. Nah, 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 nah,
and they
nah.
stay there. They like to preserve that sad image of themselves as opposed to grow through
but
it.
But they're not really sad. They're still popular. They're still accepted. That's my opinion.
I try not to get caught up in the
ridge. Apathetic, I would think. There would be like
anyway, the strange goth on Instagram.
Yes.
And then if you go to YouTube.
It's Hell's Cookie.
Hell's Cookie.
Yeah.
Hell's Cookie.
I'm going to find you. I still want to hang. I want to hug you.
Yeah,
you
yeah, all become need to talk.
Hannah
okay.
will tell you. Hannah will tell you. We all become BFFs on the Dark Mark show.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you invited
she's
me.
She's pissed because I just said that she doesn't like anything other than metal. But.
No, because you never implement anything I say. You
well,
know,
like,
I listen to rock and roll. You know,
so. I know you listen to rock and roll.
How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I see. A married man learns to see nothing.
Right no, when no, you I, hear I, the tone, you just go.
I think we're gonna get married. I think that's what was happening. I think we're a married couple
no.
now.
No. This is my wife and, right here, no. Katie. No. Understand? No. We have been voting hardcore no. over here.
Dave, how do we get a hold of you?
I am D. Rodney Carter on Instagram, which I'm an old man learning how to use it effectively.
Right.
I'm still on the Facebook. I'm on the Facebook.
Facebook.
Yes. Is this other Dave Carter comedians?
Dave Carter. Well, if you see me with a small child on my shoulder, it's me.
Okay.
It's me looking like Frederick Douglass.
I was going to say.
Or Fat Frederick
Whoa.
Douglass. Homeless Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Right. Or the guy from Trader Joe's
no, different
the Cosby
that's,
Show guy.
That's right. No, it's a different guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm more Theo than...
Okay.
The other guy.
Right.
Or possibly Black Grizzly Adams or Questlove without his glasses.
That's right.
That would be me.
Yes.
Donald
so
Glover, if he got old and let himself go.
which he will. And Hannah.
I'm HailHannahBox666 at Instagram.
Don't be mad at me, Hannah. It's the absinthe talking.
She's already replaced you in her heart with me.
I'm sorry.
Right. I saw a fairy earlier drinking that.
She replaced me.
There was a fairy in between you.
She replaced me in her heart a long time ago.
We bonded. It's really cool.
She replaced me in her heart a long time ago.
This is typical.
And goth comedian on all social media, everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.